Hello, beautiful souls.
We bring you conscious content filled with empowering information.
Designed to align you with the fulfilling freedom of activated awareness.
I am Rachel Alcyon.
And I am Daniel Alcyon.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Existence Podcast.
Hello, friends and family from around the world. Welcome back to the Ecstatic Existence Podcast. You're joining us once again to get excited about life and find ways that your life can become ecstatic. I am Daniel Alcyon.
And I'm Rachel Alcyon.
And we've been on a really wonderful journey ourselves out here. And today we have a wonderful guest that's going to help some of us go on our own personal journey. We are joined by Wendy Yellen. She is named one of the international top three transformational experts in her field. She supports people of heart and integrity around the world to live a full, passionate, successful, and unshackled life of love, awareness, and compassion without it costing them their soul. Wendy had 100% full, 100% referral, waiting list only private practice in psychotherapy based in Houston, Texas, and she closed that practice completely because she no longer believed in any of the traditional or non-traditional therapies she was certified in. Years later, she was reintroduced to eidetic imagery. She knew she had found the holy grail of transformational work and jumped back into working with people in transformation. So she's one of the leaders in this eidetic imagery, and we'd love to learn a lot more about it. Wendy, welcome.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to be connecting with you today. You actually reached out to me to be on the show, and I have a lot of people do that, you know, and I look everybody up. I see what they're about. I look at their videos and who they are and kind of get a read on not only what they're doing, but also kind of the soul reading, you know, just that inner knowing. And not everyone gets accepted. I see a lot of kind of the same old thing in the transformational work and in the inspirational speaker industries. It almost seems like people are rehashing the same kind of ideas and just in a slightly different packaging. But when I came across your stuff, it seemed different to me. Something seemed exciting. Something seemed maybe more tangible and real world instead of being all based in the realm of idea. So I'm really glad you're here, and I'm excited to crack a little bit more into that, of how your work is different than so much of the stuff that's out there.
I love that you saw that in the work, and I have some stories that I'd love to tell because that was what attracted me to this work as well. And you touched it a little bit. You touched on it a little bit in the introduction. I didn't want to keep, even though I had that full practice with a waiting list, which is nothing to sneeze at, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a wonderful thing to have your business be full and people liking you so much they want to refer their families and friends. That's an honor. But I didn't feel, no matter how many different things I was credentialed in and had studied in depth, I just didn't feel that that work, all those work combined, they just weren't enough for me as a client. And I didn't want to keep doing them with my those clients that I was working with at the time. It's just like, if this is the best that transformation can achieve, I didn't want to keep doing it. And then I refound the work that we're going to experience together today. So I really felt what you felt when you checked me out, so to speak. So thank you for seeing that.
Yeah, gosh, well, I have so many questions. So let's start out with, what is eidetics, and how does it improve the brain's ability to adapt, change, grow, all using science-based technology?
Yes, it's a combination of ancient Greek knowledge. The word eidetics comes from eidos, and colloquially they refer to it as gifts from the gods. And then it also embraces 21st century neuroscience. In fact, we were talking about neuroplasticity back in the 60s before. I'm not even sure it had a name back then. So I will explain eidetics, but it will be much more clear when we go through the experience, because at least for me, my mind could not grasp what this was until I experienced it, because it works with the consciousness so differently. So an eidetic image, it's an image, but it's not visualization. Usually with visualization, we control what we want to see and we try to control what we want to feel. An eidetic image is it has a component of a visual component. So we do see it, not necessarily vividly though. And then there are many, many feelings attached, which we may be able to experience or we may be numb to. And then there are layers of meaning. But unlike most therapy these days, like cognitive or behavioral therapy, it's not in the conscious mind. So we don't go to the meanings. We don't derive. The change agent is not from the meaning. The change agent is actually in directly experiencing your own consciousness through the images. And the images are often formed at difficult points in our lives, not necessarily trauma, but it could be, for example, if we felt over and over shut down or invisible or constricted in our early life, then we carry that with us. But underneath that is the part of us that was here before our history, the part of us that is underneath the crust of our history. And what eidetics does, it allows us to experience that in a real way and then not try to repeat it, but it actually is a kind of not rewiring because the wires are already there, but it's actually like clearing that neuronal pathway to that larger self, which is often a self that many of us have lost touch with or unfortunately have given up on finding.
Wow. That sounds so cool. I loved how you were saying about like digging underneath the crust of our own personal history. Like there's a level of, I guess you could call it the crust, where you have to dig a little bit. It's just below the surface, and there might be some little relics there from the past. But to dig below the crust of your personal history, that's like going into prehistory. That's going deep, deep into the core of things that you might not even necessarily recognize. So this is getting more and more exciting. I'm liking everything you're saying so far.
Thank you. I love it too. So for it doesn't have to be. So for example, a lot of times what will happen, I work with many of my private clients and my mastermind clients are interested in their spiritual life. And what I find, and I suspect that a lot of your listeners, if not all, are very interested in their spiritual life and their spiritual practice, whatever practice that is, because there's a wide range. It could be, you know, it could be chanting, it could be yoga, it could be meditation, it could be a combination, it could be something else. But what happens is that people have a spiritual practice. And then they have life. And in the spiritual practice, they feel calm and connected and serene. And then life happens. And all too often, we lose that contact with the part of us that was coming through in our practice. And it's very hard for a lot of people to get back to that when the times are tough. Very, very hard. And people, I find, get very disconcerted and frustrated and despondent about it because they've tasted that spiritual connection. But when they need it most, it's harder to feel. And that's one of the beautiful pieces about what happens in this work is that you don't have to like remember how to feel. I'm going to underline that. You don't have to remember how to feel. Because like we said already, underneath the crust of the history is that full, expansive, exuberant self that got hammered down. But it's still there. It's just that we've learned to bend ourselves to fit the conditions that we thought we had to fit.
So in your opening bio, there was this mention of shackles, and I always love that imagery because when we do this kind of work, you do remove those shackles and then become more free. And it seems like in a lot of different therapies, maybe you kind of get stuck in the story and there's at that outer crust level. Would you say that that's correct, or what would you like to say about that?
Yeah, and I know you work with people too, Rachel. So I think what can happen is people can get really stuck in their stories and believe them, But, and I use but on purpose, the problem, one of the problems with that is that when we try to rearrange our story, now this isn't in my opinion, when we try to rearrange our story or we try to write another story, what we're using is the thinking, rational part of our mind. And that part of our mind is not constructed. It's not its job to change us. Its job is to remember things the way they were, to keep us safe by keeping us in certain routines, to regurgitate history. That's what that part is so good at. That's why stories keep getting repeated in our minds. But the eidetic part of us, which is this deeper consciousness that, again, we'll experience in a bit, that part of us is much more than the thinking mind. And that's why I think Daniel was talking before about it not just being an idea. We're not just talking about ideas of how to live, but actually experiencing the part of us that knows how to live them. And the stories tend to regurgitate history. But again, the problem is that many people try to counter that with their head, and the head isn't made for that. Again, it's not the head's, the rational parts. It's not the job description. That part has other jobs.
Yeah. So we're talking about moving from idea into experience, and I'd love to experience what this is all about. I'd love to maybe see a little bit and feel a little bit more instead of just thinking about it. Because right now we're still in that thinking space, right?
Absolutely. So let's go into it. Let me set the stage for that. So for Daniel, Rachel, and for everyone listening, there are a couple ways to make this experience powerful for you. And I'm going to actually work with Rachel, but I'll also be working with all of you listening. And at the end, I'll show you how to understand a little bit more and to get more from what actually happened to you, the listener. So number one, as you've already possibly understood, even though we're going to be doing an image that's going to involve your parents, it is not about history or memory, not history, not memory. So the most important thing you can do, and I'll remind you at the time, is not to control the image. In other words, you want to treat this image that's going to come up for you like a thoroughbred racehorse. You want to give it free rein. You want to let it go where it wants to. And any thought you have, like, oh, it shouldn't be this, or but I thought this, or but it should be a different house, any thought like that is trying to hold the racehorse back. Don't do that, and you'll have a much more powerful experience. That's one. It's not history, not memory. Give it free rein. And the other is that you'll do this better if you're not, please don't do this while, if you're listening while driving, and if assuming you're not driving, you can do this with your eyes open or closed. And short of that, I think we'll just go straight into the experience.
Wonderful.
So, okay. So first, for Rachel and Daniel too, and then everyone listening, think of something that you would really, really like to experience a shift in yourself about. It can be anything. It can be about a relationship. It can be about yourself and your confidence, your business. It can be about really anything that, or your spiritual life. It can be about anything that's part of the human condition. Something that would really be meaningful for you to experience yourself differently. And then, Rachel, I'm going to ask you what yours is. If you're willing, I know you said you'd be willing to share.
Yeah, I'm totally willing. I just came out of a forest therapy training, so I'm like, I feel really blissed out actually right now. let me pause for a moment longer.
Sure.
Find something.
And while you're doing that, everybody, just really think of something for yourself. So it can be subtle, and it can be very concrete. It doesn't matter.
So what's coming to me now is the desire to have children and remaining in faith and free of that, like, kind of like needy desire and attachment around
them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So wanting to be able to have children, the possibility of children, without like clutching onto the idea and really over focusing on it and having it be too like overly focused and overly pressing with the desire. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there another piece I missed or that you want to add?
I think I'd like to also, I want to remain strong in the faith aspect of it, because I think that any kind of grieving that it, the possibility of it not in the now, is interfering with the possibility of it being.
Mm. Okay, so not that, I'm listening between the words, right? So that you don't want to be living in the grieving, you want to be more open to the possibilities, but also I would wonder, also not pushing away whatever feelings you have that might be related to grief, but not having those be the overwhelming ones, and then therefore keeping out other possibilities. Is that fair to say?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Great. So everyone else will have your own, whatever it is. So here we go. So again, you can do this with your eyes open or closed, remembering this is not about history or memory. So see your parents in the house that you think of as a home, the house you grew up in. Now, let an image emerge. You may have grown up with divorced parents or a parent missing, and you may have lived in many houses. Don't go into worrying or thinking about that. Just let your mind hear the instructions and let the image form. I'll say it again. See your parents in the house that you think of as a home, the house you grew up in. Where are they and what are they doing? So right now in this image, take a look. Where are they? And what are they doing? And I'm going to pause a little bit. And in a bit later, I'll ask Rachel to share. But right now, I'll just take you all through it. For some of you, it's going to take much longer. And for some of you, you've already seen it immediately. So keep looking. Remember, you're not using your head, your thinking mind. Just keep looking and notice when you see your parents, how do you feel? Particularly, how does the young you feel? So remember, I said from a time when you were growing up. So this, if you're 17-ish or older, let it go and allow a new image to form from a time when you're growing up. Where are they? What are they doing? And how does the young you feel when you see them? Whether it looks familiar or really strange, it doesn't matter. Just see what you see. And notice also, where are you and what are you doing and how are you feeling? Where are you? What are you doing and how are you feeling? Don't try to make it any one way or another. Just let it be. Don't even try to make it more vivid or more vague. Now, some of you are going to need to pause because it's going to take some of you a much longer time. So just feel free to do that as we go through this. Now, notice the feeling that you're having in the image, the young you. Is it familiar? I'll come back to that later. Is it familiar? Or is it more something that you really wish you were feeling more of, but aren't feeling enough lately? So just make a mental note of that. All right, I'm going to go to Rachel. And while Rachel is sharing her image, so I'm going to ask Rachel to share in the present. So just, in other words, still be looking at the image so we can work with it. Because a real eidetic image, you can keep looking at it. It has... It has this life of its own, and we may do some work with it. So what you can do as a listener is you can watch Rachel's image, and you could try some of the suggestions I make to her on your own image and see what happens. All right, Rachel, you ready to share?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so first, show us your image. Where are your parents? What are they doing?
In my first home ever, probably like 2 years old, and they're in the front entryway. So I believe my child self remembers it as like kind of like a split level where you come in, there's an entryway, and then you can go down the stairs or up the stairs. And, mm-hmm. and they're there with the dog that I had when I was really little. They had found this dog together right when they got married.
Yes.
And so they're there. They're like brushing the dog, like putting the leash on, like, kind of playing with this little dog.
Okay.
So they're what's both the kind dog's of crouched name? Down. The dog's name is it's a French name. His name was Cadeau, and it means gift or present.
Yes, Cadeau. Okay. So, and where are you, and what are you doing?
I'm right there. I'm little. I have like a diaper on.
Yes.
And I'm really, I'm so amazed that this is actually the image that's even coming to me. My father's on the left and my mother's on the right, and they're both kind of kneeling down, playing with the dog, and they're like teaching me how to play with the dog and care for the animal. And it was a real teaching lesson about animals and caring for them.
Yes. Okay, you're doing great because you're really watching and you let something come. And I'll ask you about the amazement later. But for right now, as you look through your young eyes, the literally look through the two-year-old's eyes as they're kneeling and brushing and teaching you how to care for Cadeau. So as you see it through your young eyes, show us what the young you is seeing and feeling nice and slowly.
I am seeing that they're happy together, that the animal brings happiness to the family.
Yes.
And joy and playfulness.
Yes.
Which was not the norm. So in that moment, it feels really good.
Yes. Now it sounds like there are some emotions there.
Yeah, I'm like totally weeping.
Yes. You don't need to explain it, but what are you feeling? Just keep looking. Don't go into your head. Keep looking at the image through the young eyes and feel what you're feeling. And if there are words to put to it, go ahead. The feelings.
Yeah.
But keep looking. Yeah.
It feels just so much joy and playfulness and presence, which is interesting that was his name, you know, present.
Yes.
Everybody was there in that moment without any distractions.
Yes.
And without any bitterness and a lot of beauty. And because we were like kind of in that front entry stairwell area, it felt almost like cocooned or they're like safe right there. It was like one of the smaller areas of the home.
Yes.
And I'm also noticing that there's this really cool like time loop tether where I have been experiencing a lot of that lately with my own family, a lot around animals and the presence and the love and the joy and the care and learning to care for things. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said you were amazed that this came up. Can you talk about that without going into your head, or should we do that later?
Yeah, I can talk about it.
Okay.
Well, we're homesteading. And and I believe and that I have been one of the ones that has really spearheaded our kind of acquiring of all these animals. We rescued pigs. We recently got chickens, which my parents did have chickens at that house when I was very, very little. I had almost forgotten about that. And we just rescued some bunnies. And Daniel's daughters, when they come around, I just am constantly like, this is the most important. It's so important for them to be around animals and learn to care for animals, because it'll blast open a place in their heart that will infiltrate their whole life. And I just have been adamant about how important it is. So we have on repeat had many moments over the last month. We rescued another dog too, all in the last month. So we've had a lot of those moments where we've all been kind of down at like earth level, at animal yes. level, together with so much joy. So much yes. joy. I laughed with Daniel saying like, wow, are we crazy for getting all these animals? Yes. And I haven't had so many like, moments as I have in the last month, maybe ever. Like around every corner, there's like this just like heartwarming, like, oh, look at what the bunny's doing now. And oh, look how cute the dog is. Oh, you know, we get all like high pitched yes. and cute about it.
Yes. So I think, correct me if this is off, but I think so. This image obviously is very attuned in many ways to what's going on and what's going on in your life right now with the animals and all the rescue. And it's moving you to weep.
Yes.
So can we go a little deeper?
Yes.
Okay. So go back if you aren't already. And this, of course, you can all do with Rachel or with your own image. Your own image will need different instructions, but you still can try it. So see again through your young eyes. And that is something everybody can do and really feel. See it. Look around. See the way they're with each other in that cocooning entryway place and the way they're crouched and the way that Kado is responding and the way it looks and feels through your young eyes. You with that at this point, Rachel?
Yes.
Back again? Okay, mm-hmm. good. And again, notice what your young body feels and tell us what you notice in your young body.
I'm probably like a year or two old, so I have kind of like that wider stance.
Yes.
That little toddlers have to be yes. able to stand, and I feel like aware of my little shoes, and I think I just had a diaper on, like I'm aware of my little chubby legs, and I think I had a little cute t-shirt on, and I may have even had a little hat. You know, like
no, wait, you wait. You're saying you may have had, but what are you actually seeing?
Yeah, well, thank you.
You only want to go by what you see.
Yeah, I do. I have a hat. It was shifting though between one of those.
Okay, that happens.
It was shifting between one with a bill and one with one of those like kind of little kid beach hats.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's more beach hat though.
Okay.
With the little strings underneath the chin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how are you, again, how are you feeling with your parents and with your doggy?
So happy.
Yeah.
At moments, like screaming, elated, like giggly, you know, like kind of just flexing my little arms and kind of stepping with my feet.
Yes. Now, you said before that, again, you're doing great because you're really staying with it and what you're seeing and what you're feeling and out of your head. So that's great. So you said before that this was not necessarily the norm because there were a lot of distraction and bitterness, you said, if I heard you correctly.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. A lot of turmoil. All right.
Yeah, okay. So this is really important place where you feel like that screaming, elated 1 to 2 year old incredible presence and joy. So now see that you are wanting to have children. Now you told us that you wanted to. So see in an image that you want to have children and put this image of you with your parents and Kado in the back of your mind. So it's in the back of your mind. We'll call that a filter. The image and the feelings, and then see that you want to have children and you don't want the grief to get in the way. And what happens when you keep this Kado image in mind? Just take your time, and everybody, you can all do this yourself if you had a positive image. Again, I'm going to show you later some other things for you specifically as the audience. When you're ready, Rachel, no rush.
Well, two things are happening. When I keep the image, then I get to be that excited about it, about having children.
Yeah.
But there's this other part that's not as powerful, but it wants to cloud that.
Yes. Yes. So let me talk about that, because this is exactly what happens with us. So this is where the work would begin. So a couple things. Can I speak just freely here,
yeah,
and you
please
correct me if anything is off?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
Please.
All right. So I'm talking to you, but also the listener. So we heard you say, Rachel, that you felt really blissed out from some beautiful work it sounds like you just came back from or have been doing. And so again, this is what happens. We have wonderful experiences, and yet there are things going on underneath that in the right conditions just kind of well up, like what you're saying, Rachel, that there's another part that wants to cloud this. So what we started today was you saw a place in you that's unfettered joy. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, but you have your history of that has more bitterness and distractions. That I would say is the part that's wanting to cloud you. But you have this other part that came immediately up, which is the unfettered or unshackled joy. So let's see if we can just connect you. Again, that would be the work, because we all have divided minds about the places in us that are conflicted. One part of the mind has a contact with, let's say, unshackled joy, and another part is clouded by other things that keep coming up. So let's just see if we can take it one more step with you, Rachel. Go ahead one more time, and this time see an image of your family distracted and bitter. Don't think about it. Just see an image of the family you grew up in. Tell us when you see it and what you see.
Same time period or just any time period?
Just whatever actually comes.
Okay.
Don't control it. Just let one show up, a time of distraction and bitterness, and just show us the one that comes up.
Okay.
What do you see?
Well, I think I'm 11 and I'm in my bedroom, and my parents are both in my room. My mother's fully in my room and my dad is standing more in the doorway, and they're both yelling at me, but then they're yelling at each other. I have no idea what any of this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And then something, my dad grabs my mom's wrist, and then she flings him off, and then he repeatedly pushes her onto my bed, and then she's so pissed and swearing and, you know.
Okay. So I'm going to try something here that really would require actually much more time, but I want to see if we can budget at least a little. So when you're looking at this image, how are you feeling?
Really pissed.
Yes.
Okay. And some fear.
And some fear. The 11-year-old is really pissed and some fear?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I'm going to go in a different direction. So far we've done about three different of thousands of different images. So feel that you're pissed. And then see that a cool wind comes down from the heavens and it's a gift from the gods. And see that it swirls around the 11-year-old you. And you feel the coolness. And then out of you number one pops you number two. Number one disappears. Take a look. What does number two look like and what does number two do? Take your time. And I'll talk to the listeners. You can also try this with your image, of course. This would be especially helpful if you have a so-called negative image where you're really feeling trapped or constricted or angry. What do you see, Rachel?
Well, I see that I become like, what is the word? My body changes from being more tense to this like leaner, elongated softness. And even yes. My hair was like kind of like all kinked up and pissed, and it just sort of like all softens and gets longer. Yes. And then I have this glowing sort of white blue orb around me. Peace, calm, love. And I take my mother's hand and I take my father's hand. I just hold their hands.
And how are you feeling in the image holding their hands?
Great. I feel calm. I feel connected. I feel empowered. I feel really bold. I feel like I'm more adult even than they are. Like I have something to teach and that I understand that they don't know yet.
Yes. And would you say that all the feelings that you're just describing are actually inside of you? In other words, they're actually feelings that you're having?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's clear. I just wanted to emphasize that. So now your image could have gone in many, many ways, but that's the way yours went. I'm going to ask you to check in. I'm going to ask you a question. And when I ask it of you, just check in very, very lightly. Okay. So as you keep looking at this image of you holding both parents' hands, calm, connected, empowered, and even bold, as you keep looking at that image and you just look at that image, how do you feel about remaining in faith about having children?
Oh, I feel, it feels easy. Because I've tapped into that knowing and that teaching that I was sharing yes. about.
Yes. Yes. So I'm going to talk about what we just did. So there are a couple things. I mean, again, we're putting into a few minutes what we could actually spend much more time with. But we connected you, Rachel, with two parts of yourself that were the parts underneath the history that we were talking about in the beginning. One of them had to do with feeling cocooned and safe and basically bubbling joy, which had been kind of roughed around a bit by history in terms of distractions and bitterness, because all of that is present. They're all there inside you. And then we went to another image and more of a memory image, which you looked at instead of just being in memory. You actually looked at it and experienced it. So it became a memory image. And in that one also, there's anger and there's pushing and your mom's pissed and swearing and you're feeling pissed and some fear. And then we did what's called an emanation, which allows another part of you to come forward, a part that usually wouldn't have gotten expressed, or a part that wants to get expressed right here. And you got connected to it because you saw it and felt it. And that allowed you to be basically peace, calm, and love. And from that place inside of you, there's more of an easy knowing about being able to bring children into the world without the grieving taking over. And so we were able to connect you to different parts of yourself that aren't normally at the top about this topic. And we were able to look inside and see other parts of you that were right there below the surface and bring them forward. And that is the work. That's what my private clients and my mastermind clients do. We work with the images to connect more and more and more to those parts. So any comments or any questions from either of you?
Well, witnessing that was really profound on my end. Number one, because I love my wife so tremendously, and to just see her, you know, we've been in numerous therapeutic modalities together before, and it's just always a wonder to see a new layer of depth into Rachel's personality. So that was a real joy and a treat. That was powerful stuff, Wendy. That was really cool. And, you know, I could only just see, because my images, of course, were very different. And yes. So just seeing that this work could really be endless and so personalized, so absolutely customized and personal to each individual, that's really incredible. Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. In fact, let me speak a little bit to that, because I don't want to leave your listeners in the lurch here. So like I said earlier, people, and like it's Daniel, you just said so perfectly, everybody's image is completely unique. And if you did an image now, and then we did some work, and you did that same image in a year, you'd be stunned, because the inside of you has changed. And so the eidetic image changes also, and shows the next layer, which you alluded to, you referred to just now, Daniel. So if you had a negative image, don't despair. And don't try to change it into anything positive. If you had a positive image, wonderful. Now, some of you may have stayed in your heads or in memory all the time, and that just means that you just needed some more time with the image. If you had a positive image, and it's something like Rachel was saying that, well, not so much. If you had a positive image, it's very likely something that you wish you had more of right now. If you had a negative image, it's very likely a place in you that is, has the difficulty, and it's being expressed in your life right now. Like Rachel was saying, however, inside that difficulty, just like we saw with Rachel, is in that other part of you. So the idea is not to try to get rid of, so to speak, the negative aspect, but to go into it differently, so that you're actually grabbing that place that's wanting to come through but couldn't. And could I give people a way to get in touch here, and then we can go to any more questions?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We okay. always, you know, all always right. love to share all of your links, and any link that you send me, I always put in the liner notes of the show as well. So that helps people be able to streamline it, and they can click right on your website and find you. But yeah, how can people best get in touch with you?
I like to keep it really simple. So on the link that I'll give you in a moment is access to my spiritual manifesto, which helps you to bring more of your spiritual, the good stuff, into life. There's a story there about a woman who is trying to keep her business going, but all she wanted to do was play. And so she would play, and then she would work herself to the bone, and neither one was keeping her business going. And the worst part of it was she was doing exactly what her mother had done, very unsuccessfully, and yet she couldn't stop. So there's a story about that. And there are ways to go. I'll show you inside the manifesto ways to go deeper into what you experienced today and to have some more time with it. So you can get all of that at this just one link that I would like to share, which is www.myspiritualmanifesto.com. And you just click on the link and subscribe, and you'll also get updates, because what I'm doing is I'm taking very prominent spiritual teachers and I'm reading their work, and then I'm showing you how what they're talking about and what you do in Eidetics. I'm showing that you the interface, so you can really integrate your spiritual practice more into your life.
Well, fantastic. So listeners, check that out. MySpiritualManifesto.com. Is that correct, Wendy?
Correct.
Awesome. So something that's coming to me, we're sitting here in our lovely Winnie and our little Winnebago, and you know, high-tech recording studio that we have. And there's a rainbow catcher, a little prism hanging outside. And as we're talking, the wind is blowing a bit and it's shimmering rainbows that are coming in and through the window and onto the recording equipment and the walls and everything. And that made me think a lot about what this eidetic work does, because like we talked about, we tapped into two basically versions of Rachel inside of her self, right? This overjoyful, really exuberant little self, and a really powerful, strong, teaching, calm, peaceful self. So that prism reminded me of that, of how we're all so multifaceted, and at any given moment we might be thinking and feeling, predominantly thinking from one area, but we could always tap into this whole rainbow array of different personas if you just shine the light on it in the correct direction.
Yes, so beautiful. I can so totally see your Winnebago with all the rainbow lights. And you know, Daniel, did you also? I'm sure you noticed, you and Rachel, that the your current doggy started barking at the end, and I love that because the doggy was such a big part of the first image.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's our little. That's our newest addition. Our little tripod Trinity. She's a little three-legger.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, this is really big work. And one of the things we just touched on kind of really briefly, and I'd like to maybe talk a little bit more about it and hear what you have to say, is why do we block what it is that we really want? We kind of saw that with Rachel's experience that, you know, there's this joyful image and then there seems to be almost something that wants to stop it and cloud it. So like, why is that that people in general block what they want? Is it just specifically too much story? Is it getting stuck in the head and like repeating the same this happened to me and then this happened to me thing? Or is there something bigger than that?
Well, I certainly agree with you that we repeat our history to ourselves and we try to recreate it. We do. One of the aspects of eidetics has to do with the way we identify with our parents, but not necessarily in the good ways. So, for example, we want either to be like them or we want to be the opposite of them. But the problem is that we're often insistently, blindly repeating being like them. So, for example, my father, well, it's too long of a story right here, but when we often have what I mentioned before, divided minds. That's just part of the human experience. And the part that hasn't gotten dealt with, especially as we get older and older and older, starts to be more dominant. So we have a desire like to exercise more, to eat more healthy, or to have a better relationship with our spouse, or to actually focus on the important things in our business. But we don't do those things. And that's part of what you're talking about. There's the other part. So for example, the part that Rachel was speaking of, the distractions and the bitterness, that's way more heavy and weighted than the desire to succeed, because it's got so many neural pathways in our mind. You know, over and over and over, we see the bitterness in the family or the distractions or the lack of presence. Those neural pathways are set down really strongly. And so we want something, but the want isn't more powerful than those pathways. And if we add on to that, that we're unwittingly doing what our parent, one of our, or both of our parents did, we're just kind of screwed. However, because we're operating without really being in charge. But that's why this, that's why I love this work, because those other parts are there. So did I address your question even a little, Daniel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so it sounds like really what we need to do is start strengthening and building the new pathways. We need to make those new roads to success and the new, you know, neural networking that connects with the ideal life that we want. We need to strengthen those and run more and more things through that so that the opposing so-called negative pathways aren't as predominant.
We do. And for the really tough stuff, just trying to force yourself to do it and pressuring yourself to do it usually doesn't work. That's why people, just to use a kind of silly example, you know, make the same New Year's resolution year after year. And they drop it after a couple weeks or if not a couple hours, right? Yeah. It's just that it can't be addressed with the head. If you're having repeated problems with it, if you can fix it by just saying, oh, I'm not going to have sugar anymore, great. But most people can't do that.
So in terms of like your clientele and then also the formatting of eidetics, do people already know? I mean, I suspect they already know somewhat of what the issue is that they want to be moving through. And then I'm sure tons of other things come up also. Along the way. But do you typically start them out how you did with me, where it's like, what's one way that you're feeling and you want to feel different about it? Is that usually where you begin and then take them through a series of images like you did with me?
What I do with people, because every eidetic image can be helpful to people, everyone. However, people come at certain stages of their life, just like you said, they have something they want. And there will be certain images for them that will help the fastest and the easiest and the most deeply. So, for example, what I do with every private client and every mastermind client is I do a consciousness mapping, and I take them through a series of images, 30 images. We did one of those today. And the images connected with what they want now in their life will show me the way towards which core eidetic images will help them the most right now. So for example, one woman, I'll tell you real quickly, one woman is an artist and an award-winning artist, but she couldn't get herself to do it for pay. She could only do it as a volunteer. And this woman is spectacular at what she does, but it requires lots of things, including confidence and willing to be seen and willing to fail and willing to negotiate money. And there's so many different things that it requires to go out there and put yourself out there. And she couldn't do it. So she'd had a number of other jobs, which she just, you know, would kind of go in and out of and wasn't doing the work that she was really here to do, at least not in a paid way. And so we worked on many things, including one kind of mantra that was in her head from things I won't go into right here, but I'm never enough. And that was something that was in her for so many reasons. And it was what came up for her all the time, whether she was aware of it or not. So the images that I picked actually came from her consciousness. If that makes sense for what you know about eidetics right now, does that, Rachel?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, it seems like there's a lot more to learn about this topic. It's really interesting and fascinating to me.
Yeah. And I suspect that, you know, in the unshackling, people really are able to shed a lot of what's not them. Do you see that people really like change even physically?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I'll just say one thing. So that with the artist woman, now she's working for pay and asking about that and putting herself out there and doing it so easily, and now is proud to be an artist. She says, I can't wait for my grandchildren to know that I'm an artist, which is something she would have hidden before.
Wow.
So yeah. So, Rachel, it just popped out of my mind. What was it? Say your question again. Sorry.
You know, noticing how much softer and lighter age. I feel. And yeah, I'm wondering if you notice that in other people.
There is a thing that happens with pretty much everyone that you could call age reversal. And you know, we all know that when someone has a really hard life, even if they're doing their best, you can see the hard life on their face and you can see it in their body if you look.
Oh, yeah.
And so, right? And so, and again, especially as you get older, it's not just age that shows. It's the difficulties. They're printed on our face and in our body and our posture, all of that. We all know that on some level and we can all sense it on some level. So when we're working, that of course starts to lift. How could it, any work that's real will show in your face and your body in the moment and over time. So yes, some of my clients call it a cosmic facelift. You can see when we're working together, some of my clients come here to Santa Fe, and we work in person, for part of the time for retreats and so intensives and so forth. And you can, they comment on each other because you can see the person like holding back against feeling better. This addresses what you said, Daniel, holding back against feeling better. And then you can see them letting go the resistance to themselves, and you can see the whole face change. Like what happened with you, Rachel, like those spontaneous laughs that came out of you, right?
Well, yeah. And well, and I was thinking about my holding back, you know, my whole face wanted to just start it pouring out tears, you know, and I could feel that holding of the floodgates. And then, yes. Now how I feel, I mean, Daniel's looking at me all lovey.
Sometimes I have people go look in the mirror afterwards because they can see it too, as long as they don't look, you know, like, okay, what about that? And what about that? Just looking, yeah. You know, just looking. But Daniel, what do you see when you look at Rachel right now?
Oh yeah. She's glowing. She's light and happy and glowing. Yeah.
Yeah. So of course it shows, right?
Yeah. So all of this stuff, everybody listening, all of the things that we're carrying with us, even if they're just mental, if they're just emotional, they're heavy. They weigh us down. They take their toll. And so if you want to live your most light and free and happy, excited, ecstatic existence, you got to do your work. You got to feel it to heal it, right? So, Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited to get this out and share it with all our listeners. And everybody out there, I'm sure you were very interested in this. And of course, if you want some personalized work from Wendy Yellen, she was a world-renowned leader in eidetic imagery and therapy. So reach out to her. That's one more time with the website, Wendy.
MySpiritualManifesto.com, and that's for the manifesto itself, and it'll show you how to get contact me as well.
Fantastic. We'll have that link right there in the liner notes of the show, of course. You can click right on it and get there direct. Things are coming right along here at Sublimity Sanctuary, so of course, if you want to check that project out, you can check out Sublimity Sanctuary. There's a page on Facebook there. You can come visit us. You can come out here and stay here. We have multiple...
We now have three campsites.
We have three campsites that are available through Hip Camp. You could come and visit, and you could check out our version of off-grid permaculture living.
Yeah, learn a thing or two.
Yeah, rent a kayak. There's so many available options for you. Yeah, and another way that you can support for those that can is we make this available for free on a bunch of different digital platforms. And, you know, we pay for the hosting, we pay for the posting, we pay for the storage, we do all the stuff. And for those that can, that help and chip in, you can choose to support the podcast at Patreon. That is Ecstatic Existence Patreon. You can find that. And it's super appreciated. That's a monthly donation where you go to support conscious content creators like us. So, yeah, we love you. Anything helps. And we appreciate your support in whatever way. Maybe it's just clicking that share button. Telling a friend.
Totally. Super helpful to us.
And as always, stay tuned for more from the Ecstatic Existence podcast, where we share our own ecstatic life and connect with leaders from around the world. Thank you so much for joining.
Just keep looking. Don't go into your head. Just keep looking. Don't go into your head. Just keep looking. Just don't go into your head. Just keep looking. Just don't go into your head. Just keep looking. Just don't go into your head. 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 Don't go into your head. Just keep looking.